Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Action Network Podcast.
I'm just about that action, boss.
Ready! All right, here we go.
From the 10, throwing end zone. Spectacular catch. They're saying it's a catch. Touchdown.
You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win.
Oh, my God. That's incredible.
Big bank, small bank, I like to make money. All right.
That is the ultimate kibosh.
You want to bet?
And we are underway.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Action Network NFL Podcast presented by FanDuel. I am your host, Chris Raybon. And today we've got our NFL player props picks for the conference championships, where we discuss the player props that we are looking at early in the week here. Here to help me do it, as always, one of the top rankers and projectors in the game, Sean Kerner. Sean, what's going on?
What's up? Had a good week. Went 4-0 on this pod last week. I think you went 4-0 depending on what number you got for ETN, right?
Yeah. Hopefully people got the 17.5. That was one, you know, usually doesn't come down to things like that. But yeah, he was stuck on 18 yards. And thankfully they gave him that last catch because it looked like a, you know, it was like a lateral almost. It was parallel to the line of scrimmage. Yeah. When he threw the ball, but they gave him the catch. And he got a few yards on it. But yeah, that was a struggle. But, that's only advice you could give there. Shop around. Hopefully you get the best line. But that'll happen sometimes.
For all these props today, we'll talk about like what we would bet it down to. Because obviously these lines will change, but we'll try to give good advice on when we would start to stop betting it.
All right. Yeah, let's jump right in. So we'll go with a prop for each game here. There's only two games, obviously, but be sure to follow us in the Action Network app and you can see all the props we are betting on as we bet them. Obviously these lines will move fast, so that's a big advantage of obviously following us in the app. You can get a notification the minute we post it. Sean is in the app at @_oddsmaker and I am at Chris Raybon. All right, let's jump into Niners Eagles. Is the first game. And the Eagles are favored by 2.5. The total's 46. What do you like for this one?
Yeah, so my favorite prop right now it's got to be Miles Sanders under 15.5 rush attempts. You can get it at -130 right now, but I think there's a ton of value there. Sanders is coming off a 17-carry game. Certainly he benefited from the blowout. But also, you know, Kenny Gainwell had 12 carries. Boston Scott had 6. So this was a game where Sanders could have easily rushed for 20 plus times based on the game script. But, you know, the Eagles wanted to limit his workload, you know, keep him fresh for this weekend. But this is a pretty big number for Sanders. He's only cleared this in 5 of his last 12 games. However, you know, this week is a much tougher test against the 49ers. You know, they have an elite run defense. They rank 2nd in DVOA against the run. So it should be a closer game where the Eagles, you know, they probably will have to throw the ball a little bit more than usual. Plus, you know, the Niners run D is so good, you know, they're probably gonna face a lot more third downs, maybe not have as many, you know, long lasting drives where Sanders can rack up a couple carries a drive. So I think this is the market to attack Sanders. So I'm projecting it closer to 13.5, 14, because the 49ers do a good job also of limiting the overall number of plays the other team can even run. They've allowed the 5th fewest plays per game allowed. And a lot of that has to do with their slow pace. Plus they have a very efficient run heavy offense. The Eagles, of course, have a run funnel defense. So this is a game where I could see the Niners have some pretty long clock killing drives that will just, you know, gut the overall value, the overall play volume of the Eagles. And the Niners have only allowed four different running backs to clear this number on the season. So with the Eagles, you know, they have Gainwell, Scott, and Hurts, of course, that eat into Sanders' workload. You know, I just think it's going to be tough for him to get here. So like I said, I'm projecting this closer to 13.5-14. I would bet this down to minus 150. I would probably still bet the under at 14.5 as well. But in these types of markets, you have to understand that every rush attempt is massive. I give about 8 to 9% of value per rush attempt in this range. So this is one I would try to get while it's still 15.5, but I would still take it at 14.5, but I would like it just a little bit less.
Yeah. And when you say, you know, you'd rather attack this market, I'm assuming you mean then the rushing yardage
exactly
market, which is already pretty sharp. It's already down to about 55.5 across the market, which is interesting because, you know, that's a, they're essentially projecting him to rush for well under 4 yards per attempt in this market. I have him more like about 14 for 60. Like I'm under the carries definitely, but the yardage, they're really kind of squeezing him with the
with his defense. The Niners, when I took the Zeke Elliott under 11.5 yards for his longest rush attempt, by far my favorite prop of almost the year, I would say. Just the Niners are a very good defense. I think that goes without saying, but they do explain it. They limit explosive runs, but Sanders is one of those backs where you could easily see him rip off a 30 plus yard run, no matter, you know, what kind of defense he's facing. So I think that the angle here is certainly just the overall volume. And like I said, half the reason I like this is the Niners' ability to keep the other team off the field. So yeah, that all, you know, Sanders rushing markets are probably a bit inflated this week, or, you know, I favor the under, but especially the attempt prop. That's why I think this is my favorite market to attack in this game.
All right. For me, I'm going right back to the well here with Quez Watkins under 19.5 receiving yards. And I have his median around 12. Wow. And here's the thing, you know, and you actually pointed this out, and I dug deeper after you mentioned it on one of these pods, but he's been a totally different kind of player in terms of his usage with Goddard in and Goddard out of the lineup. So with Goddard out, he's played that stretch weeks 11 to 15. Goddard was out. He averaged nearly 5 targets per game, just over 3.5 receptions, about 26 receiving yards per game, did Quez Watkins. But in the games he's played with Dallas Goedert, which are 13 games, his median receiving yardage is 0, which means he's had more games where he's goose egg than he's had games where he's had positive yardage. And then he's averaging just 16 receiving yards per game, averaging under 2 targets per game, just over 1 reception. So with this market, you're kind of betting on him getting under, under multiple receptions, getting one or fewer receptions. But you look at this, the usage last week, and it was even more alarming because Watkins, his snap rate over just the last 4 games, 72%, 51%, 42%, 31%. So his snap rates have been going down. Zach Pascal actually had more routes than did Quez Watkins last week. And I just wonder if, I know AJ Brown was a little bit banged up, I just wonder if Pascal is kind of that one for one replacement for Brown, which doesn't, you know, that doesn't really help Watkins here at all. So, you know, there's a lot of different reasons why I just think, you know, Watkins, his playing time could just be going down as they get into the playoffs. You know, Pascal is a better run blocker, and they don't really need, with Goddard on the field, as we've seen, they don't really need that. I mean, he's technically like the fourth or fifth option now, depending, you know, they don't throw their running backs a lot either. But there's just not a high probability here that Quez Watkins is kind of coming anywhere close to his season averages, which are kind of what the books are posting this line as, you know, more of his kind of a combination of what he's done with and without Goddard. You know, there's been a clear trend here without Dallas Goedert for Quez Watkins to come nowhere close to this line. So I would bet this down. I mean, his real median is 0. I have it projected around 12.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. You know, I don't mind it to about 13.5 here, because essentially you're just kind of betting on him, you know, not getting multiple catches here. So You know, there's a good chance that he goose eggs again, but there's also a good chance if he catches one ball, he could go over this anyway. So, you know, I'm not super price sensitive to it here, but yeah, I would bet it to about 13 and a half. And I mean, if you know, his average catch this year is under 11 yards, which is interesting. So you could even go lower, but I kind of, again, it's a little higher with, we got it out because of the ADOT. So yeah, I think about 13 yards, you know, would be his median catch in this kind of environment. So yeah, anything over 13, I think you're still fine here, but again, good chance he goose eggs. So it's not one where I'm going to be super price sensitive.
Was this the same line he had last week?
It closed at that. When it opened at 21 and a half, I think I got it there. But then obviously talking about it all week, it did start. I don't know if that was just us or, you know, other people I'm sure were on it as well. But yeah, I did notice that. Yeah, I got it at 21 and a half. That's where I believe it opened. And by the end of the week, it was around this number. So they're essentially opening it now at the number it closed at. But I still think that's too high, because same as last week, you know, his median is going to, especially for a guy like Watkins, because he has a higher ADOT, especially with Goddard in, his median is going to be a lot lower than his average. You know, he's not like one of these slot guys that you can count on to get like an 80% catch rate. And, you know, it kind of doesn't matter whether you're talking about average or median. Like, there's a big difference between Watkins' average and his median. And that's, the books are kind of just banking on people not really, you know, differentiating between the two. So, yeah, Quez Watkins under 19 and a half. We'll bet this all the way down to 13 and a half.
What about his so I love him for showdown slates because he's a boom bust player. Obviously, he busts more than he booms. But what do you think about his receptions prop? Right now, it's 1.5. You get the under at like plus 115. You were saying he probably needs a couple of catches to clear this anyway. Like, is that a route to do? Would you just double down on that, or would you prefer that?
Yeah, I was
like,
looking at that. I was looking at that as well. So yeah, I don't mind it either. The only thing is, you know, let's say they do like it's the hard thing to predict is like these wide receiver screens and things like that. So I don't want him to get a cheap one. I still feel like it's more likely that either way he goes under his yardage. But I was looking at that. But I think there's a little more chance for him to get like a cheap over. Cause he did have, in like week 18, for example, he had like two catches for 14 yards. You know what I mean? You know, it's like, sometimes you just, it's like a guy's quiet. And so they just throw him like a cheap wide receiver screen. So, that is always something to look out for.
Yeah.
But overall, I think the unders for him either way, just because based on what we've seen this whole season with Goddard and based on what we've seen last week with Pascal overtaking him, I don't know if that's just, you know, something with how to do with Brown or that we're going to see that going forward. But either way, I show value on both, usually tend to go to the yardage props in these kind of markets when there is value on both. But that's a good call. And I do show value. So if people want to go that route, or if the yardage number has dropped more, I don't mind it at all. All right, let's jump to the Chiefs and the Bengals. And of course, you know, Patrick Mahomes sustained that ankle injury. So we're actually seeing the Bengals favored on the road here by about 1.5. The total 46.5. What do you like for this one?
I like Joe Mixon under 3.5 receptions at minus 110 right now. He's been held under this two straight games now. You know, the Bengals have been using Samaje Perine a lot more in the passing game. So the past two games, Perine is averaging a 49% route turn rate, Mixon just 31%. Have to wonder, you know, if the offensive line issues is the reason for this. You know, they will probably continue to use Perine heavily because he's the better pass blocker. He has a 72 PFF grade as a pass blocker. He hasn't allowed a sack on the season. Well, you know, Joe Mixon, he has a 30 PFF pass blocking rate. He's been credited with allowing 3 sacks on the season. So have to figure this trend sticks this week. You know, plus Perine's been getting all the 2-minute offense snaps. That's when running backs can really rack up receptions. That's when he was able to clear the over I had last week. He got 3 or 4 catches in a row to end the first half. So that's huge that Perine's getting the 2-minute offense. So I'm projecting Mixon closer to 3 receptions here, and just in these markets, a half reception is just massive. So I have him around a 62% chance of staying under. So I'd probably bet this down to minus 135 or so.
Yeah, you know, it's been interesting to watch because I shout out to Mixon for saving some of my tournament lineups last week, because he was my contrarian captain He actually got it done in a game where, you know, it was kind of wonky with any of the Bills guys. But yeah, no, we've been talking about this for weeks now that P. Ryan is continuing to mix in. No pun intended. Right. But he's been continuing. I don't even want to say mix in. He's been continuing to be their go-to passing down back. And you thought maybe the deeper you got into the postseason, the more you would see that kind of revert to the mean. But what's happening is they're still using Mixon. They're still able to get him his 20 touches without necessarily playing him on these passing downs where they obviously don't like to play him because, like you said, just not as good of a pass blocker, even though probably a better you'd probably rather have the ball in his hands than P. Ryan, you know, push come to shove. But I think the blocking really tilts it toward P. Ryan because P. Ryan's been a lot better, I think, this year with the ball in his hands than he's been in years past. Mm-hmm. So, I expect that to continue as well. And that's been kind of, you know, there's been an angle on Mixon pretty much every week. So we'll see what else we can find because I feel like, even his rushing market might be interesting this week because P. Ryan also mixed in. Yeah, you know, it was like a, what was it, 20-7 in favor of Mixon. So, you know, that's a little lower than we would have expected too. So
Some of that was due to just Mixon being so good.
I know.
Back to back 15-yard carries. He had to get out of the game, and then P. Ryan just busted off an 11-yard run. So. It seemed like Mixon had to keep getting pulling himself out of the game because he was being so efficient. But yeah, I noticed that too. And just both running backs played well last week. They're favored by 2.5 now, so it could be
I saw 1.5, so it's been kind of moving around. And that's something though, you know, that could be a little bit of an overreaction to the Mahomes news, or you know, if he's, you know, let's see, he's super gimpy, could be an underreaction. So I do think that is something you know, for everyone listening, again, just check the app, check what we're doing here, because there could be value on just the running volume as well, depending on where this line ends up at. All right. Yeah. I'm going with somewhere. And by the way, yeah, I have Mixon around 3 catches as well. Right. So nice. Yeah, it's, and usually I have, and I am factoring in the fact that he's, what is this? He's like 30% target per route.
Yeah. I was going to say like
season.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm factoring that as well. Like when he is out there, he has been seeing targets. That's why I didn't want to attack his, receiving yard market. Mm-hmm. I'm showing, you know, 7 to 8 yards of value there. But just when it comes to this market, it just has more to do with playing time. He's just not seeing as many routes. So it's going to be harder for him to get there with this. But yeah, I have noticed that. Last week, it was down to just a 14% per route run. But overall, he's been seeing a ton of volume when he's out there. But just again, the limited playing time just makes me show a ton of value in this under.
Yeah. All right, I'm going with a similar kind of prop, a little more juiced up, but I think it's a great value. Isaiah Pacheco under 1.5 catches at -165. This is a guy that I'm projecting for 1 catch. You know, week in, week out, I'm projecting him for 1 catch. Yeah. So in terms of the juice, like I'd probably stop it around -200. I know people don't want to bet even that high sometimes, but there's probably, you know, like he's caught more than one pass in just 4 of his last 5. And that's, you know, with him being the starter and on the season, he's gotten multiple catches in just 4 of his, 18 games now. So, you know, the likelihood of him getting 2 catches is very low. And the issue in the playoffs, and we saw this last week, and is that you have Jerick McKinnon. His role increases in the playoffs. Now, I know it didn't show last week necessarily in the receiving department, but Jerick McKinnon's getting more early down snaps. Those are coming out of Pacheco. And because of that, there's a ceiling on how many routes Pacheco can run. It just depends on how many times they call a pass play on early downs. Now, with Mahomes a little gimpy, that likelihood may decrease. You know, they may be a little more run heavy. So, you know, he played only 35% of the snaps last week. And, you know, usually is around, you know, 25-33% of the routes. And that's pretty much his ceiling. And he still hasn't been clearing, you know, multiple receptions in this market. So, you know, there's a chance Pacheco could, you know, run around on under 25% of the dropbacks this week. But he's just a guy that you're not, he's in there to run the ball. He's not really in there to catch the ball. And the more negative game script you see, the more passing downs, the more you're going to see Jerick McKinnon in that 2 minute, in that hurry up and whatnot. So I think there's a lot of different ways Pacheco goes under. And by the way, the Bengals are number two in DVOA on passes to running back. So I don't think it's going to be in the game plan necessarily, even with Mahomes banged up, for, you know, for the back to do much. If anything, I think Pacheco may end up staying in to pass block, making sure Mahomes doesn't get blasted if he does play, right. Because you can't leave Kelsey in the pass block. Maybe you go, you know, you go a little heavier. You could leave Noah Gray in or Blake Bell, but more than likely, it's just going to be the back, you know, blocking for Patrick Mahomes here. So, I mean, maybe there might even be value on McKinnon's unders as well, but I just know he's the guy that's going to, the more, if, you know, Cincinnati keeps playing well, it's negative game script, then you're going to see McKinnon run a ton of routes. But Pacheco, either way, I would essentially bet this to pretty much any juice, but we'll say 200 listeners here, because I know people don't like to bet juiced up ones, but this is kind of like that Ray McLeod one a few years. It's like, if this doesn't hit, it's just a bad beat. Like,
yeah,
not catch two balls in this game.
Yeah, I haven't projected for one reception as well. And again, people need to understand how valuable that half yard is. So if we're projecting 1.0 receptions like we are, the chances of him staying under is right around, you know, 72%, right in that range. So a fair line for this would be minus 270. That's why you're kind of saying you'll bet this down to any juice.
Yeah.
You mean it. Cause like this market should be, you know, down to like minus 250, minus 270. Plus, I'm not projecting this at all, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire could return this week. So that's just added value, right? Even if he doesn't play, we're showing minus 270.
Yeah.
But if Edwards-Helaire suits up, I mean, we're going to be projecting him lower, like 0.6, 0.7. I don't know, but it's going to be lower. So that's even more. We could be showing a fair price of like minus 300 or more. So yeah, I'm not scared of the juice here. This is one of those you just bet matter what.
Here's what I would suggest. You know, whenever you hear this podcast, like, just bet it immediately, because what's going to happen is, if it gets to a point where it should be like the true value should be, you know, minus 250 or whatever the books deem, they're just going to take it off the board. You know, that's why we don't see over under half a reception. We see the receiving yards, and but the receiving yard market is a lot fairer already. It's 6.5 pretty much. And, you know, his average catch has been 10 yards. So that's why I show a lot more value on betting under the volume, because he could get like one catch for 10 yards or something like that.
Right.
You win the other bet, you don't win this one. So, you know, that's what's going to happen, is they're going to take the receptions off the board, and then people are going to say, you know, well, should I just bet the yardage? No, you should not bet the yardage, because you know, he's a lot, his yards for catch is actually above the league average. So you know, that's not really like the most likely outcome is still one catch. So you don't want to bet under 6.5 when he's been averaging 10, and still, you know, the more likely for a guy averaging 10, not many receptions, so we don't have a huge sample size, he's going to do a lot of regression, but still expecting about 7 to 8 yards per catch for him, you know, on that one catch.
Yeah. And I think, like, also if you're doing like a same game parlay thing, you want to beef it up with something like this.
Yeah.
Again, exactly. It should be like minus 250, minus 300. Just beef up a parlay by using this, throwing that in there. Cause again, this probably jives with every single game script anyway.
Yeah.
So this correlates with pretty much everything as well. So another good, like, sneaky same game parlay thing.
All right. So that is, that's going to do it for our Action Network NFL podcast presented by FanDuel for the conference championships. To recap, Sean's going with Miles Sanders under 15.5 rush attempts. We bet that to about minus 150. And then we'd also consider the under 14.5 as well. And then mixing under 3.5 receptions. What would you bet that to?
Probably like minus 135.
Okay, minus 135.
And only at 3.5. It's not going to move, but this is one I would just bet down to minus 135.
And then for me, I'm going Quez Watkins under 19.5 receiving yards. I would go down to 13.5. And Pacheco under 1.5 receptions, I would go to minus 200. Although I would go to any juice, but I would say, for people, you know, if you want a number, don't, like, after minus 200, I'm sure it's not going to make much of a difference anyway. So that's our props early in the week for the Conference Championships. Again, be sure to follow us in the Action Network app where you can track all of your bets and picks, but you can also follow ours and get notifications when we bet them so that you're getting the best closing line value. For more great fantasy content from Sean and I, be sure to check out our full DFS preview episodes for both the AFC and NFC championship games over on the Fantasy Flex podcast channel. And be sure to check out my weekly betting preview episode every Thursday with Stucky right here on the Action Network podcast channel, actionnetwork.com, for all of our NFL betting and fantasy content, as well as fantasylabs.com for our DFS tools and models. Sean is on Twitter at @_oddsmaker. I am at Chris Raybon. And again, we're at those same handles on the free award-winning Action Network app. And you can get a subscription to Action Pro to get the most out of the Action app for 40% off. This is only being offered during the NFL postseason. So if you do not already have Pro, now is the best time to subscribe and unlock all of the best features of the Action app. Until next time, let's get this money.
Action Network reminds you, please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you care about has a gambling problem, help is available 24/7 at 1-800-GAMBLER.